Thank the Lord for His goodness to us. I'm glad to be saved, aren't you?
Amen.
And I appreciate the privilege to be back in Ridgeview Baptist Church. And I can't believe it's been over a year ago that we were here. But I'm glad to be here. And Brother Sexton, we have been talking about this church in a good way ever since we've left. It's probably one of the highlights since we've been on the road for about 3 years now. That mission conference we were in with y'all back a year or so ago was probably one of the highlights of our traveling. And we still talk about it from time to time. As a matter of fact, we got ready to leave the house and told the children where we were coming. They got excited about it. And we have fell in love with this place. Appreciate you good people. It's not real often, it's sad to say, but it's not real often you find a place like this on the road. Sad to say, but it's not real often you find a place where the Lord is, where you can worship the Lord and get along with God's people and meet with the Lord. And so we appreciate being here tonight. Thank you, preacher, for the opportunity you give us to preach. And then I want to say I appreciate you praying for the home that the Lord has given us, Fairhaven Home for Men. And we've got 3 men right now. I believe we've got another one on the way. And just to give you an update, when I was here last year, I told you that we had bought 27 acres of land and were in the process of trying to build the building. Well, you know that nothing is simple, especially when you're trying to do the work of God. The devil's going to do everything he can to hinder it and stop it. And so we raised the money for the foundation, trying to get the foundation in. And we got us a contractor who said we could work under his license. Well, make a long story short, his license expired and they would not let him renew his license. So we've been without a contractor now for some time, and I'll show you how the Lord works. We begin to pray that the Lord would provide a general contractor. It had to be a commercial contractor so we could work under his license to get the building in the air. And we have a store that generates money, generates income for the home. And a man stopped by the store here a couple weeks ago and said, "I really like what you have here. I appreciate what you're doing, trying to help men that are in trouble." Said, "If there's anything I can ever do for you to help you, you let us know." And one of the men said, "I tell you what you can do for us. If you know of anybody that is a contractor, a commercial contractor, please tell him about us, because we need a contractor to help us get this building up in the air." A couple days later, the phone rang. He said, "My name is so-and-so. I'm a general contractor, commercial contractor, and I understand that you need some help." So we went and sat down and talked with him. He said, "I'll do anything I can to help you and not charge you a dime." Praise God. The Lord's good, isn't he? The phone rang the other day at the church. Just to give you an idea of what's going on, the phone rang the other day at the church. Said, "Preacher," said, "my name is so-and-so." Said, "I was on your website the other day and I noticed that you had a home for men that are in trouble." We said, "Of course, yes, we do. We have a home for men that are in trouble." She said, "Well, my daddy, when he was living, said he would ride down the road and see men walking side the road, drunkards. He would pick them up, work them, give them money, and try to help them out along life's way." She said, "I want to talk to you. I got something I want to do for you." Said, "I got a 7,400 square foot building there in town, sitting on a half acre of land, and I'm not using it." Said, "Would y'all be interested in it?" And you'd have to know my daddy. He said, "Well, we'd be interested in it. Depends on how much you want for it." She said, "I don't want a dime for it. I'm going to give it to you." 7,400 square foot building. Now, if you've never been to St. Stephen, you're missing a lot. It's got one traffic light in town. And she said, "I want to give you that building. Half acre of land. Got 2 big sheds on the back of it. Got 3 or 4 offices in it. Desk, computers. And on it goes." She give it to us. Give us the keys. Said, "It's yours. Use it for whatever you can use it for. And let God get the glory through it." Amen. I'm glad God's still on the throne, aren't you? And so we appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And appreciate God supplying our needs and working in our heart and in our lives for His honor and glory. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn with us to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23. I wish you would pray for us. I'm not going into detail tonight, but I wish you would pray for us. Me and my family are praying for the will of God in our lives in regards to what the Lord would have us to do. We are on the road raising money for the home. Want to continue to do that. want to do things in a greater way. So I wish you'd pray for us as a family that the Lord would direct us, that we'd do His will. All right? The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23. I want to read one phrase tonight. And it's a very familiar subject, but I pray that somehow the Lord would speak to our heart once again. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23. The Bible said in verse number 33, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary." And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. I simply want to preach on that thought tonight. A place called Calvary. A place called Calvary. You know, the truth of the matter is, the subject of Christ and of Calvary are two subjects of which there is no end of speaking. A writer could never exhaust either of these two subjects. A speaker or a preacher could never exhaust either of these two subjects. I wonder, and I begin to think and begin to meditate, I wonder how many books have been written. I wonder how many messages have been preached. I wonder how many songs have been sung, trying somehow to describe what Calvary really means to that individual. But yet when they got through, they were not able to fully describe what Calvary really meant to them. Amen. And could I say to you tonight that I don't have the words, I don't have the vocabulary to express what Jesus means to me. Amen. I don't have what it takes to describe how appreciative I am for that old rugged cross on the top of the hill where Jesus paid my sin debt that I might go free. Amen. I'll tell you, friend, when it comes to Calvary and when it comes to the cross, when it comes to Jesus, words cannot get it done in describing how it affects my life. The simple fact is, all of this that was done, all that Jesus did, all that Calvary means, are to behoove us to do more for His honor and glory. Amen. I submit to you tonight, there are a lot of people who want to have an acquaintance with Christ. For you see, being with Him, you're in the glory. Everybody wants to be there. But on the other hand, there's not many people who want to have much to do with the cross, because that's a gory sight, and nobody wants to be there. The fact of the matter is, you can't separate the two. You can't separate Christ and the cross. Amen. Without Christ, the cross is of none effect. Without the cross, there's no salvation. Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me," is what Jesus said. Without question, there's been many crosses placed on top of Calvary's hill. Without question, there's been many people that have walked up Calvary's hill. No doubt crosses have been placed there prior to Christ being crucified. No doubt crosses had been placed there after Christ had been crucified. But I'll tell you, friend, when Jesus walked down Calvary's road, Calvary had never seen a man like this man. He wasn't going as a convict. He was going as a conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. Amen. He wasn't going defeated. He was going to deliver us from our sins. Amen. I want to say thank God for Calvary. Amen. Had it not been for the cross, had it not been for Christ, we'd be without hope in a Christless eternity. But thank God Jesus paid the debt, and I'm saved tonight because of it. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes I get so busy, and I think we all get so busy, even in good things, even in right things, that we get so tied up and so busy that we forget what it's all about. Amen. It's about that cross on Calvary's hill. It was a place where the guilty died for the wrong they had committed. It was a place where the criminal who had done wrong died for the sin that he had done. But thank God, one day there came a man down the road like Calvary had never seen before. And this man, when he come, he did not come as a convict. Rather, he come as a conqueror. He was not coming as a sinner. Thank God he was coming as a Savior. Amen. I'm telling you, there was never a man born like this man. Never man lived like this man. Never man died like this man. Never man rose again like this man. Why is that? Because there's nobody like him. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Notice in verse number 33, if you would, very simple thought. The Bible said, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactor, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Verse 34, the Bible said, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Very simple thought tonight. First of all, the cause of Calvary. I begin to think about that, preacher. Normally, when a death happens, there's always an investigation. So I begin to ask myself the question, why was Calvary? Why was Calvary? I want to tell you, according to verse number 24, the Bible said, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. Could I tell you, first of all, tonight, it was not because of a sovereign demand. It was not simply because Pilate gave the word that Christ should be crucified. Although he gave the word and it happened, but it did not happen necessarily because Pilate said it should happen. Amen. I want to tell you in verse number 33, it was not necessarily because a soldier delivered it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the soldier was allowed to deliver it. They were allowed to kill him. But I'm going to tell you, it didn't happen necessarily because the soldier delivered it. I want to tell you, friend, it was not necessarily because of all the series of demonstrations and the crowd that stood there. It was not necessarily because of these things. Now I'm going to ask you then, friend, why did Jesus die? I'm going to tell you why he died. You're looking at him. Amen. When you get up in the morning and look in the mirror, you know why Jesus died? He died for that person you look at in the mirror every morning. Amen. He died for me. Amen. He died for me. Who am I? What value do I have? Why should Jesus die for somebody like me? Amen. I'm going to tell you, even since I've been saved, I've been so come up so short of being what I ought to be. Why would Jesus die for somebody like me? Amen. I do not understand it. Friend, that's why Calvary was. Because Jesus died for us sinners. The longer I'm saved, the more I realize how wicked I am. Amen. He died because of our sin. My sin put him on the cross. My sin put him on the cross. Not only do I see the cause of Calvary, but look in verse number 27, if you would. The Bible said in verse number 27, and there followed him a great company of people and of women which also bewailed and lamented him. Verse 35, the Bible said, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. A superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The cause of Calvary. Why did Calvary happen? It happened because of our sin. Our sin put him on the cross. But I want to take just a few minutes tonight and I want to examine not only the cause of Calvary, but I want to examine the crowd that was at Calvary. If you stood at Calvary's Hill that day that Jesus was crucified, I wonder who you would find there. Well, first of all, I think it's very plain and evident to see. You would find that there was his foe there. There were people there that hated him. There were people there that despised him. They hated everything he said. They hated everything he did. And they loved the fact that Jesus was being crucified. His foe was there. Amen.
I would imagine that if you went to Calvary that day that Jesus was being crucified, not only would you find his foe there, but you'd find his friends there. The Bible said that his disciples, those that had followed him, those that had loved him, those that had respected him, had looked up to him, had believed in him, they were at Calvary that day. Amen. His foe, his friends, his family. I wonder what it would have been like to have been there that day. I wonder what it would have been like to have stood there and watched the Son of God shed his blood that we might be saved. My, how often we need to go back to Calvary. I've never literally been there, but by the eye of faith, we need to stop and go back to that place and remember the great price that was paid for us. Amen. The crowd that was at Calvary. I saw this sometime a while back. Look in verse number 38. The Bible said in a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin. This is the King of the Jews. I notice in these verses the cause of Calvary. The crowd that was at Calvary. But notice with me shortly, if you would, the confrontation that was at Calvary. The Bible said in verse number 38, and the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin. Before the whole world, here's what was put on the cross. This is the King of the Jews. That crowd stood there that day, and as they watched him die, they read in languages for everybody to understand. This is the King of the Jews. If you remember, somebody went to Pilate and said, Pilate, I think we need to change what you've got over his head. I think we need to put up there, he said he is the King of the Jews. Pilate said, what is written is written. Amen. They didn't realize what they were saying. They said exactly what was true. He is the King of the Jews. Amen. The confrontation, it was displayed. It was debated. Turn with me real quickly to John chapter number 19. Just to prove my point to you tonight. John chapter 19. And in verse number 20, the Bible said, John 19 verse number 20, the Bible said, this title then was read. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Verse 21. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. I think Pilate might have knew deep down inside, he is who he said he is. Amen. He's the King of the Jews. I notice in these scriptures tonight the cause of Calvary, the crowd at Calvary, the confrontation at Calvary. But there's one thing that I want you to see above all else, and I want you to see the Christ at Calvary. The Bible said in verse 33, and when they had come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Can you see it? There he is. Can I say to you tonight, he is the sent one. God sent his son. He's the sent one. Can I say to you tonight, he is the spotless one. There's nobody like him. Amen. He's perfect, undefiled, harmless, sinless. Amen. He is the Son of God. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, he's the sent one. He's the spotless one. But on this day, he's the sacrificed one. He's the sacrificed one. Can I say to you tonight that Calvary was not a time when God lost control and evil prevailed? Oh no, but rather it was an event planned by a gracious God before time began to provide salvation for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Amen. I tell you tonight, if you want to see a demonstration of compassion and a demonstration of love, look at Calvary. If you want to see a demonstration of depravity, look at Calvary. Amen. Can I say to you tonight, never was such injustice as prominent as it was at Calvary. But on the other hand, never was mercy and grace of an almighty God shown at its brightest strength like it was at Calvary. Amen. I want to say thank God for Calvary. Amen. Because of that, we're saved tonight. Amen. Because of that, we're going to heaven. Could I say, I should have been the one to be crucified. I should be the one that should suffer and die. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Aren't you glad of that? Get the picture. Get the picture if you would. He's just like Pilate's judgment hall. They had beat him beyond recognition. He was wounded. He was bleeding. And he's leaving Pilate's judgment hall. They had mocked him. They had made fun of him. They had slapped him in the face and spit on the Son of God. Yet he didn't say a word. He's leaving Pilate's judgment hall with the cross on his shoulders. Can't you see him? Wounded and bleeding. And he's walking down Calvary's road, headed to Calvary. You know who he had on his mind? Brother, he had you on his mind. You know who he had on his mind? He had you on his mind. He had you on his mind and had you on his mind. He knew one day there was coming a time that we'd be born in sin without hope and without help. And somebody had to rescue us. Amen. There he goes walking down Calvary's road. Can you see him? Can you see him tonight by the eye of faith? Walking down Calvary's road underneath the weight of an old rugged cross. There he goes. Why is he going? He's going for me. Can you see him there? We was riding down the road today, and I don't know if she pulled it up on the internet or what she or how where it come from. My wife began to read a story about Jesus being crucified. And I didn't look at her while I was driving through the mountains. I was too scared to look at her, but I think she got choked up and began to cry. As she began to read the story about how they took those nails and drove it in his arms, in his hands, and the excruciating pain that he went through. They took those nails and drove them in his feet and the excruciating pain that he went through. How he hung there naked before the world. Said, Father, forgive them. Wow. He said, Father, forgive them. Wow. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But you know what he did? He stayed right there. Not because of the nails. Not because of the soldiers. But because he loved us so much. He stayed there and paid the sin debt. Thank God for Calvary. Amen. You know, sometime we need to go back there. Amen. Raising four kids, working a job, traveling up down the road, going to church three times a week, working in a men's home. Sometimes we get too busy. We need to stop and go back to Calvary and remember what Jesus did for us. If we'll keep Calvary in view, we won't mind doing anything for Him because of what He did for us. Amen. There's nothing too great for me to do. No sacrifice too great for me to make because of what Jesus did for me on Calvary. Amen. I tell you, we got a story to tell, don't we? There's nobody Jesus won't save. Amen. I know some pretty rough people, don't you? We've had some men come to the home I didn't want to get too close to. But I'm telling you, we never had one come to us that Jesus couldn't save. Amen. We've got a story to tell. I want to go on record of saying, thank God for Calvary. Amen. It changed my life for time and eternity. Amen. I'm telling you, we live in a world He can do the same for them as well. A place called Calvary. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, please take these few simple thoughts tonight to simply remind us of what You did for us. Thank You so much to be saved. It's nothing we've done, but all because of what You did. We want to thank You for that tonight. Bless now the remainder of the service, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, please.